You're getting the first half of a story about Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar today. So you either have to be back next week or read like crazy and read the second half, because we're not going to tell you what the interpretation of the dream was. So if you're waiting for that, I just wanted to kind of...
Hold on.
Oh! One more week, okay. So we're going to get all the way up to the interpretation of the dream. As you heard Daniel say to the king in those last few verses, he said, "There's no wise man, no diviner, no enchanter, no magician who can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and visions that pass through your mind as you were lying in your bed are these." And these is going to happen next week. So, all right? Yeah. But today we're going to talk about just this text. So I just wanted to let you know that. So today's text is talking about fear versus faith. Talking about our knowledge versus God's knowledge via prayer. It's talking about being man-focused versus being God-focused. It's talking about excuses versus honoring and crediting God for everything. And it's talking about being self-centered versus pointing others to God. But most importantly, it's talking about giving Satan any little tiny space in our lives, because that's all he needs, right? But God says, "I only need a little tiny bit of faith to overcome Satan." And so all we have to have is a little tiny bit of faith, and we're in control because God's in control, right? Amen? It's so simple for us to slip into fear, though. We learn from Satan that we never, ever, ever need to slip into fear, and yet it's what we do often. Fear is from Satan, plain and simple, and he thrives on fear. He enjoys it. My sermon title is that Satan undoes and God builds up. The undoes is for a reason. When I was in college, I had a lot of facts that I had to memorize, and I'm not that good at memorizing. So I did acronyms for everything. You know what an acronym is? Well, you take the first letter of each thing and you make a word out of it, and then you just have to know that word, and you'll remember all those facts. So we're going to use the acronym UNDO, U-N-D-O, this morning. So for starters, the U is uses fear. Satan uses fear. Nebuchadnezzar was afraid of the dream. The wise men were terribly afraid when they found out they were going to lose their life if they didn't interpret the dream. Everybody was fearful. And what happens to your thinking when you're scared to death? You don't think. So your thinking just kind of goes by the wayside. Daniel was young. He was trained for 3 years in Babylonian culture and Babylonian language and literature. He was a very, very bright young man. The king was really, really impressed with Daniel. But what happened to the king's thinking when he started being fearful? He didn't think about it. So the last person he would have thought of was Daniel. He was so troubled that he couldn't be calmed. How about you? Do you have any fears about jobs, or about children, or about your future, or about money? Well, fear comes directly from Satan. Directly. Our God is bigger and our God is stronger, just like the song says, right? And he crushes fear. It's like when you walk down a sidewalk and the mesquite trees have dropped all those pods, and you start walking and you hear this crunch, crunch, crunch. God crushes fear the way our feet crush those pods on the sidewalk. Daniel stood on a firm foundation, which was God, and fear was completely destroyed in Daniel. Keep in mind, he was a very young man, and the king was threatening death. And yet he had no fear. Let's go to the end. Satan tries to negate God. He promotes self-sufficiency so people won't think about turning to God in prayer. I can take care of this myself. Every commercial that you see promotes self-sufficiency and tempts us to look at our own abilities. in verse 4, the wise men said, oh, they can take care of this. Don't worry, king. We can take care of this on our own abilities. Just tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. And the king said, no, I'm not going to tell you the dream. You tell me the dream and you interpret it. And then they got scared. How much time have you wasted this week worrying about a problem and trying to solve it yourself? Instead of freaking out, has anybody freaked out this week? In verse 17, Daniel went straight to his faith community, which in his case was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He went straight to his faith community and he asked for heavy prayer coverage. I've asked for heavy prayer coverage this week for my brother-in-law, who's on now, will be on his fourth surgery to try to close his leg because of infection. The king's fear and freaking out gives all the more glory to God when the solution is given, right? Matthew Henry said, by prayer, he had the power of God, and by prudence, Daniel had, which was caution and good judgment, he had the power with men. So in these things, he prevailed. He found favor and good understanding with both God and with the men around him. The wise men were completely ineffective. Completely ineffective. Have you seen where human answers are not enough for you? Have you seen where human answers didn't solve your problem? Only God can answer every need, and Satan can never, ever negate that. Daniel stayed calm and composed and confident in God, that God could answer every single thing he needed. His composure came because he relied on God. I have a cousin who says that people that believe in God, he said, although I respect your belief, he said, I think that when people believe in God, it means they're weak. It means they're weak because strong people rely on themselves, and weak people rely on God. And I said, no, it's just the opposite. Strong people know where their strength comes from. None of us are strong on our own. But with God, we can do anything, right? So we'll go to the D. Satan tries to distract us. He creeps in very subtly, and he keeps us way too busy to connect in God's Word. He keeps us too hot and tired to stay awake during prayer. He puts in front of us all the bling of this world. Money, possessions, awards, recognition, but every single decision that we make in life affects us in the spiritual realm. Every decision. Romans 1:28 says, furthermore, since they didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Philippians 3:19 says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame, because their mind is on earthly things. So what's been your focus this week? Has it been on earthly things and desires and addictions and problems? What do you think about most? What have you thought about most in the past week? Because what you've thought about most, that's your God. Don't allow Satan to distract you. And finally, Satan wants to oppress us. That's the O. Satan wants to oppress us. The definition of oppression is to keep somebody in subservience and hardship with undue authority. Yesterday, the girls in the jail said, oh, I know who that is. That's the D.O.s. And I said, no, that's Satan. He might work through the D.O.s at times, but that's Satan. If we defile ourselves in any day, we allow Satan to oppress us. Because Satan's assumption is that we have no wisdom on our own. And he's right. We don't have any wisdom on our own. It all comes from God, but we do have God. Philippians 2:5 says, put on the mind and attitude of Christ Jesus. Now, when Christ Jesus was on this earth, was Satan able to oppress him? Did he tempt him? Yes, he did. but he never won. Philippians 2:5, put on the mind and the attitude of Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things. So what it's saying is what we learned from Jesus, we now put into practice in our own life. Can Satan oppress that? True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy? Satan can only succeed when we forget about such things. God has always spoken wisdom to unbelievers. Let me give you an example. In the Old Testament, God spoke in some mysterious ways. He spoke through angels. He spoke through dreams. He spoke through a burning bush. He even spoke through a donkey. In the New Testament, who did God speak through? Jesus. And when Jesus was ascended, who did he leave with us for God to speak through? And to this day, the Holy Spirit has stayed with us. So he's the one that's communicating with us every day. In our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, that's the Holy Spirit. And the more we ask for him, and then when we ask for more and more and more of the Holy Spirit, as you hear in our prayers really often, the more he will answer that prayer. And he starts to give us more and more and more. So we have better ability to discern. We have better ability to love others that aren't lovable. We have better ability to do everything because he's imparting it on us. So let's go over undo. What's the first one? The you. He uses fear. The second one. He negates God. The third one. Distracts us. The fourth one. Oppresses us. Now, here's the really cool thing. Satan has no power over us. He has no power whatsoever unless we give it. Our God is greater and our God is stronger. Amen? Daniel didn't fall into heated passion and tell the king how stupid he was being. Okay? Daniel didn't form a resistance movement with all the wise men and fight up against the king. Daniel did nothing except quietly ask the king for some time. And then he went home and he prayed with his friends. Matthew Henry says, the lifeliest method to turn away wrath, even the wrath of a king, which is the messenger of death, is by a soft answer. That yielding which pacifies great offenses. So even the powerful word of a king could be repelled. I know I've had a few phone calls from ladies from summer camp who have been a little distraught at times. And I said, you can't think clearly when you're distraught, so let's just softly slow down and think. Let's just take a moment and think and pray. Let's quiet our mind. And suddenly, then, you will receive the word from the Holy Spirit. Young Daniel was able to be successful because he called on God and he stopped to think before he acted. God built up Daniel in every way in this text, and he saved the evil men from death, even them, through the wisdom that he gave to Daniel. Which I thought was kind of cool, because he didn't need to save them. They weren't following him. But he saved even the evil men from death in this instance. In the past few months, I've seen God remove cancer from Lindsay's uncle. I've seen him give Jennifer a peaceful new place to live. I've seen him give Danny a great new job. I've seen him get Donna Marie into the chaplaincy program at Dream Center. I've seen him get Estelle a car that she wanted. I've seen him do all kinds of things. I saw him give the strength to Susanna and Jennifer to speak at the sheriff's dinner, which was a pretty big call. Lest we get distracted, it's our holy honor to give God all the glory for getting us through every single day. It's a holy honor to get us through, to give God all the glory for getting us through every single day. For sobriety, for jobs, for peace in the storm, for calm when our nature is just the opposite of calm. Even for the words of the sermon. And so Daniel doesn't forget the beautiful gift that he's been given, and he immediately turns it around and gives all praise and glory to God. When God answers prayer, we can't forget that last little step of thanking him and praising him, being thankful for the gift that he's given to us. Daniel says, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and he deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and he gives knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and light dwells in him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You've given me wisdom and power. You've made known to me what I asked of you. You've made known to us the dream of a king." May we remember to praise God as good Christian leaders. True Christian leaders like Daniel can change the focus, can change the mindset, and can change the mentality of every person around them. May we give God the glory as he builds up a new life in each of us, a life of calm, a life that's focused, and a life with only our eyes on God, who builds us up every day and answers our prayers and our every need. Amen? Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, forgive us for allowing Satan to have a foothold in our lives. Help us to resist fear, to resist other gods, to resist distractions and worldly oppression. Help us to turn our focus only to you. May we learn to take full advantage of all the power that you have given us when we turn everything over to you. Help us to remember that Satan need not be feared because he has no power over us. All authority comes from you. We thank you and praise you for the good work you're doing in each of us to rely fully on you. In Jesus' name, we bring all our petitions to you. Amen. Amen. Amen.